I'm Aditi Bandlamudi, in for Brian Watt. As Israeli officials weigh a military response against Iran, in light of Iran's attack on Israel over the weekend, an escalation could risk a wider regional war. Israel's siege on Gaza has entered its sixth month, killing over 30,000 people there and creating a dire humanitarian crisis. The conditions there prompted a worldwide economic protest yesterday. Here in the Bay Area, that took the form of mass demonstrations that blocked traffic for several hours over the Golden Gate Bridge and the I-880 in Oakland. Mike Sweeney was among the protesters on the I-880. He's a healthcare worker from Berkeley.
The Israeli military and army is essentially like destroying every like pillar of health and wellness, specifically targeting centers of healing.
A doctor from the South Bay has seen this firsthand. Mohammed Soubey was part of a recent 5-week medical mission to Gaza, and he shared his experience with KQED's Alan Montecilio for our local news podcast, The Bay.
When did you decide that you wanted to go to Gaza?
So I have family in Gaza, aunts, cousins, their children, and we talk on a monthly basis, and you kind of understand what the healthcare infrastructure looked like, just at baseline, which is not that great. And then you kind of fast forward to October of last year, and the healthcare infrastructure started being decimated, you know, from day one. And I remember the first week, my wife, I was in an ER shift, and my wife sent me a message and said, hey, you should really look into these potential hospital ships that they're thinking of sending over to Gaza to serve the people.
Were you afraid before you left?
Do you mean, was I afraid
for your own safety?
My own safety. I never let that paralyze my decision making.
What was your journey into Gaza?
I flew into Cairo, like everyone. The only way into Gaza right now is through Rafah, which is on the southern part of the Gaza Strip. As you're approaching the Rafah crossing, there are miles upon miles of A-trucks that are parked there, waiting to be let in. As soon as you get out of the vehicle and go into the Egyptian side of the border, you start hearing these drones above your head and quadcopters, which are drones that are outfitted with machine guns. And you kind of constantly hear that, kind of like this annoying hornet that is buzzing around your head. And that doesn't stop until you exit Gaza. That's constantly there. After going through the process of entering into Gaza, my first drive through the encampments, you feel like you've entered this apocalyptic horror movie. It's like, is this really 2024? Is this Earth right now? People were just with torn up clothes, no shoes, dirty, no access to clean water. And you start hearing missile strike after missile strike, and it just shakes the whole vehicle. For me, it was very startling. It took me almost a week to actually kind of drown out the missile strikes.
Do you remember the first person you met when you finally got there?
My first encounter with a Palestinian was this older gentleman, torn up clothes, his sandals were torn up, and he approached me smiling and he handed me two cookies that he had. And I said, no, amo. Amo in Arabic means uncle. No, amo, you know, I don't need this, you know, keep it for yourself. And he said, no, I want you to have this. I'm so happy you're here. Thank you for being here.
Once you're there and you're seeing patients, what was a regular day like for you? Was there such a thing?
There was no normal day. I would start off at 4:30 or 5 a.m. And I always started my day with journaling. I would journal every day because I had to get my emotions, my thoughts down on paper to allow me to be able to function. We set up the hospital in January and anticipated about 40 to 50 patients that we'd see on a daily basis. The week I left, we were seeing up to 1,000 patients a day. And we found that we needed to really offer all different types of services, many of which we really didn't have access to or we couldn't do at 100%. You know, things as basic as rubbing alcohol, for a long time we did not have. We had no access to ventilators. So ventilators are very important for our patients coming in with respiratory distress, respiratory failure. And so we had no means to intubate a patient to put them on a breathing machine because we had no breathing machines. We actually had very little supplemental oxygen. Anesthetics, pain medicines. We were doing for a long time major procedures with just ketamine. Ketamine is a medicine that dissociates the mind from the body. And we were opening people's chests, their abdomens, all with ketamine.
When was your last day in Gaza?
So our missions are outfitted with like some time before and after the entry and exit because of all the logistics of getting in. So I returned on the 15th of March. So it was a day and a half before that I exited.
Was it hard to leave?
Very difficult. There was a profound feeling of guilt of leaving because it's like I have this luxury of leaving. Like I can choose when to leave. People can't choose when to leave. I almost felt embarrassed that, hey, I was leaving. And everyone would tell me, like, we're going to miss you so much. Please don't forget us. Please come back. It just felt like is this like tug of war on the heart.
Do you hope to go back to Gaza?
Yeah, I'm in the process of coordinating my second mission, making sure that it's impactful. More importantly, how I can best help the population there. That's my kind of my litmus test right now. I feel like there's so much to be done.
That was South Bay Dr. Mohamed Soubey talking about his experience in Gaza with KQED's Alan Montecilio for our local news podcast, The Bay. You can find The Bay on your favorite podcast apps.